Dear friends, what comes to mind when you think of a kingdom? You think perhaps of a king or a queen, perhaps one of the countries who competed in the Olympics this past summer, like the United Kingdom, or the Kingdom of Spain, or France. Here in the U.S., of course, we do not have a king or a queen, so although we might have our own ideas about what a kingdom is like, we really don't have any experience with kingdoms, or do we? God's word for this morning comes from the last chapter of Luke's Gospel. Jesus Christ, the carpenter's son from Nazareth, the only begotten son of the Father, had just been resurrected from the dead. We read Luke 24, verse 46 to 48. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." The crucified and now risen Messiah had begun to appear to his followers as proof of his victory over sin and death. You might remember Jesus appeared to Mary while standing next to his own grave, and he had later explained Old Testament prophecies to a couple of disciples on their walk on the way to Emmaus. And now he materializes standing in the midst of his own disciples in a locked room. He says, "Peace to you." He comforts them, telling them not to be afraid. He invites them to touch him, to realize his complete return to life. And you can imagine the disciples' amazement and surprise and possibly doubt. Even now when he was standing in their midst, how could they believe that he was actually back? Had he actually risen from the dead? However, Jesus, instead of being frustrated with them and their lack of understanding, he patiently points them to Scripture and the prophecies found there. After all, he reminds them, everything written about the Christ in the law of Moses and the prophets must be fulfilled, because Christ brings his kingdom to us. In Jesus' words from Luke, we find three promises that have been written in God's word, and if it has been written in God's word, then it must be true. First of all, Jesus said, "It is written that the Christ must suffer." So Jesus had to suffer to bring his kingdom. That had been God's plan ever since man's fall into sin. The Messiah's sufferings had been described throughout the Old Testament. He would be wounded, crushed, chastised, striped, slaughtered, and hung on a tree. And we know in our own sin that we did that. We're the ones who caused that. It was our fault. It was for our sins, for our iniquities, so we could have peace, so we could be healed, so Jesus' kingdom could come. So God's kingdom, his ruling activity in our hearts, was totally made possible through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus. The second promise, summarized by Christ, is that he must rise from the dead the third day. And we celebrated that just recently, and we continue to celebrate it now in this Easter season, the resurrection of our Lord. He had to rise to show us that his kingdom had been secured. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 6, verse 9, "We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him." And we recall that Jesus, during his ministry, raised a few people from the dead. But Jesus, when he was resurrected that Easter Sunday, he was the first person to ever rise from the dead, never to die again. The first time, but certainly not the last. That resurrection, that promise of Christ, the ultimate proof that we too will one day rise to eternity in heaven to be with him, never to die again. And Jesus continued with promise number three. He said, "Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And that is how God's kingdom comes, through his word. Repentance, turning away from sin and turning towards God, and the remission of sins through Jesus' blood. And we need both daily. We need that repentance and we need that remission of sins. Repentance needs an ending. The pieces of our broken hearts need to be picked up and made new again. And that's exactly what happens when God's kingdom comes to us. Repentance and forgiveness is preached to all nations because we are part of all nations. God's kingdom came when Christ completed his victory on the cross that Good Friday and crushed the head of Satan. God's kingdom comes to us when we were baptized Every time we receive communion, we receive the forgiveness of sins. God's kingdom comes to us when we hear His Word being preached in chapel or on Sunday mornings. Every time we hear the message of the Bible, sin and grace, repentance and forgiveness. After all, in the second petition we pray, Thy kingdom come. How does God's kingdom come? Through God's Word. When our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And there's only one name by which we must be saved. There's only one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. So this preaching that began in Jerusalem with the disciples and the apostles on Pentecost, it didn't stop there. It continues even today. And when we look around at the world today, it's easy to feel frustrated or upset, sometimes depressed, disappointed at the godlessness of humanity. Christianity is often twisted into a religion of works. Otherwise, it's presented as just another fable or myth. Yet what does Jesus tell us to do? He tells us to keep praying for His kingdom to come, to keep preaching repentance and forgiveness in His name to all nations. Jesus said, "If it is written, and if it's written in God's Word, it's as good as done." That day in the locked room when Jesus appeared to His disciples, He was showing them that what He had done for them, He said He would do, and He accomplished it. He suffered and rose. Jesus brings His kingdom to us. It's with this assurance of salvation that we can go forward as the apostles did, knowing that Jesus' written prophecy of repentance and forgiveness preached in his name to all nations will also come true. So we do have a king. We have our own familiarity with the kingdom. Each of us is a proud citizen of the kingdom of God, a kingdom established by Christ through His victory over sin and death, through His resurrection on Easter Sunday, a kingdom witnessed to us that we can in turn witness to others. Let's sing this morning the words of hymn 198, verses 1 and 4. 198, 1 and 4.